Oldie but a goodie. I hope you guys like that one. Most of my sermon songs have something to do with the text, but that was just a beautiful song that I wanted to play today. So praise God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? How great is our God? How great is His wisdom and how great is His power? Amen. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Good to be back. Good to see all your beautiful, wonderful faces this morning. So amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this message today. We thank you for every message of your word, Lord. And we just ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive this truth and this power and this wisdom today. Lord, we thank you that your ways are not our ways. And that you are greater than us, Father God, because you created us. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to go before us, protect us, watch over us. We thank you for every answer to prayer, and we thank you for the family of God we have here at Amazing Grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So, sermon title today is The Foolishness of This World. The Foolishness of This World. And that's pretty much everything when it's compared to God's glory and God's wisdom. Amen? We should never compare ourselves to God in any way. So, there was a doctor named Dr. Henry Fritz Schaeffer, and he had earned his PhD in chemical physics, right? Almost like a rocket scientist, right? From Stanford University. And for 18 years, he served as a professor of chemistry at the University of California, Berkeley. He's the author of more than 800 scientific publications, and during the period of 1981 to 1987, he was the sixth most highly cited chemist in the world. There's a picture of him there. There he is, yeah. In a recent lecture, though, after listing some of his leading discoveries that he's had in his life, Dr. Schaeffer said this. He said, however, the most important discovery of my life was my discovery of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In 1973, he said he discovered the Jesus Christ of history, the Jesus whose life is described on the pages of the New Testament. That was his most important discovery in his life. Amen. All the wisdom of this great doctor that he possessed, and that he would say that his greatest discovery would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how true that is for us who know that. Amen? How true that is. The same gospel that we're going to read and study about today would make the wisdom of the world look like foolishness to this doctor. Amen? And, you know, or to anyone for that matter who has found salvation in Jesus Christ. Because that's the most important thing in our lives. Amen? And when we combine faith and the message of the cross, okay, it changes our lives, right? It changes our lives and the way we look at the wisdom of this world. In fact, it should change the way you look at everything in this world. Amen? When you are saved, when you have faith. And that's something that this world truly needs today, right? A spiritual awakening and a deliverance from the foolishness of this world. Because that's what we're seeing on the news every day. It's the foolishness of this world. Last week, Brother Adam covered Paul's introduction to 1 Corinthians. And after praising the Corinthians for all the good they have done, Paul was going to challenge them for all the conflict and for all the division that they were experiencing in the church. Amen? Just like the divisions that we see today, right? Concerning idol worship, polytheism, and even blasphemy in the church. Amen? There's a lot of infighting in God's kingdom, right? But, you know, the church back then had divided themselves into separate bodies, okay? And some would say, I follow Paul, he said, right? Others would say, I follow Apollos. Others, I follow Cephas. And still another would say, I follow Christ. Amen? And Paul would even say, I'm glad that I didn't baptize any of you so you couldn't say that you were baptized in my name. Right? And And so Paul didn't want anyone to get in the habit of worshiping anybody but Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? That's his point. Amen? Because if they ever did, what would it do? It lessens the power of the cross for their lives. Amen? Nothing can really take that power away, but for our witness, it lessens the power of the cross. Amen? And and we start to spread a false message, or even worse, a false gospel. And we don't want to do that. Amen? There's enough of that out there in the world. And so in today's text, Paul, he's going to explain why the power of the cross is weakened every time that we try to explain it with the wisdom or the words of this world. Amen? The foolishness of this world, as he calls it. First verse says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen. Right? Makes a lot of sense to the believer to read that, right? Amen? For those in the world who reject the message of the cross, the idea of being saved by a man who was murdered on a cross is foolishness. Even today, right? But could you imagine that message being preached at the time of Paul and the apostles? Amen? Imagine people trying to receive that. In the first century, the very mention of the cross meant nothing less than a horrible, torturous way of death. That's what they thought of when they thought of the cross. Amen? So yes, it was foolishness to those who had no faith. And it still is today. It still is today. And believe it or not, that was God's design. Amen? We'll talk more about that in a minute. Today, we wear crosses, amen, and display them on our walls. It's one of the walls of my house there. And we display them on our cars and in our churches, amen? Today, it means salvation to those who believe. And I believe it also speaks a message to those who don't believe. Amen. Right? That's part of our witness, amen? But in Paul's day, it spoke a message of death. It spoke a message of murder and execution. That's what a lot of people received from that cross. They would think, what good can come from an instrument of death? Right? It was indeed foolishness to those who were perishing. But to those who were being saved, it was and it still is the power of God. It's the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if we really think about it, the message of the cross, it was a strange thing then, and it's a strange thing today. Amen? It really is. For those who have no faith and no eagerness to learn, it's a very strange thing. Amen? And that, my friends, is why being a witness for Christ is so important for all of us, for each of us, especially as the time grows shorter, because it's growing short. Amen? The time is growing short. We're seeing prophecies that were foretold being lived out every day. Amen? Every day. The true hearing of the gospel, however it's delivered, is going to bring power, the power of God, into people's lives. And that's our job. Amen? As believers, we're called to be a witness. The gospel and the cross are always going to be one and the same. Always. Amen? We cannot and we should not have one without the other. If I have this cross without the gospel, it doesn't mean anything. Amen? They go together. You see, for Paul or any other preacher today, for that matter, to truly preach the gospel without the message of the cross is impossible. Right? It's impossible to truly do it. Amen? If you're watching a gospel message, okay, in person or on TV or some other platform, whatever, and you hear a two-hour promise of God's gift of salvation without ever hearing of the cost of sin, or a need for repentance, or the cross of Christ, you're listening to a false gospel. Amen? You can't have one without the other. And then notice it says, for those who are perishing, right? Not will perish, but those who are perishing. Okay? These are people that are already on that path to eternal death. Okay? And then it says, but to us who are being saved, that means the path to eternal life. Right? Next slide. Which path are we on? Amen? Which path are we on? You see, I say this all the time. None of us are sitting still, right? We're all going one direction or the other. Amen? Amen? We are all moving forwards or backwards, getting better or worse, perishing or being saved. Amen. And it's a choice we got to make every day.
Every day. Amen.
Amen. A choice we got to make every day. Amen. Verse 19, he goes on, he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." That's from Isaiah 29:14. And in this, Paul is showing them that in spiritual matters, God opposes the wisdom of man. Amen? He opposes the wisdom of man, and he will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Because why? Because his ways are not our ways. Amen? Praise God for that. His will is always going to be better than ours. You see, God doesn't sit around respecting or even thinking about the words of the wise in this world. Because God's perfect. And God created us. Amen? There's nothing that we can reveal to God that he doesn't already know.
Amen.
Besides, the wisdom we're speaking of is not the things of academic intelligence. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Amen? When a scientist figures out a complex formula for something or a problem, I'm sure God's happy. God's proud for that person to be doing something that's good for humanity. Amen? What Paul was talking about, though, was human philosophy, okay? Philosophy, human ways of thinking philosophically. God will destroy the wisdom of the wise in that respect, okay? And he will never bow down to what we have created. Only he created all of us and everything, amen? Verse 20, he goes on, "Where is the wise person," he says, "where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Right? Paul is saying, bring all the wise, bring all your teachers, the philosophers, and the geniuses, and God's wisdom will destroy them all. God's wisdom will be stronger than all of them. But why would God do this? Because verse 21 says that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. It's part of God's plan. Amen? You see, people have a tendency to think that the smartest and the wisest people should know the most about God. But the opposite a lot of times is true. Amen? All of this is to say that God cannot be found through human wisdom, okay? Paul and, of course, our Lord Jesus were saying that God can only be found through the message of the cross, through Jesus Christ, and through the Word of God. Proverbs 21 says, "No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord." None of it. I don't care who it is. Amen? The pursuit of human wisdom may be a fleeting happiness or a sense of joy, but it will never bring the true knowledge of the gospel, amen, that's given by a God who saves. All right? It'll never bring that. In fact, if you think about it, if you even research it, you're going to find that most educated people, very educated people, usually have the least regard for God. Amen? That happens a lot. Now, it's not always the case, but because there have been some extremely brilliant Christians throughout history. Amen? Martin Luther, C.S. Lewis, even Isaac Newton, all right, who may have been the most brilliant scientist to ever walk the earth, was a Christian. Amen? But for the most part, the smarter the person, okay, the more likely they are to reject God and the cross of salvation. It's just our sin nature. Amen? It's our sin nature. It's our pride, maybe, right? Our pride can come into play a lot when we think we know everything. Amen? And so, nevertheless, you know, it sort of reminds me of human nature, right? Or sin nature. That's what it is. It reminds me of Matthew 19:24. When we talks about camel going through the eye of the needle, amen, that it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? It's the same. You could take the rich man out and put in the smart man, Amen? And it works just the same. It can be very difficult for an extremely intelligent man to see the kingdom of God. Amen? Human wisdom in our nature will, in most cases, reject God. And so we say to those that have this kind of wisdom, we say that they are perishing. Right? A lot of times they are perishing. There was once, here's a perfect example, okay? There was once a great scholar, okay, that came before God on Judgment Day. All right? That's the best picture I could find. Kind of looks like. He's dressed in his scholar's robe, okay? And he's got his degrees and his tassels and the whole nine yards, okay? He brings all of his diplomas and he's getting ready to show God, right? He's going to show God all his diplomas, okay? And God addresses him and he says, Mr. Jones, you're before my throne. You know what Mr. Jones said? That's Dr. Jones. That's Dr. Jones, right? And God said, not in this court. Here, you're Mr. Jones. Here, you're Mr. Jones, and you're going to answer for your lifestyle, for your life. Amen? And the point is that human wisdom will never increase your relationship to God. Okay? Your human wisdom is not going to increase that. It's about a relationship. Amen? We all have the same opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter if you have a degree or not. It's a free gift. And remember, the Word says God is no respecter of persons. Amen? He is no respecter. And in verse 21, it says, since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Paul's saying, I know the message of Christ is foolishness to the world because that's what God wanted. That's how God wants it. Amen? To be a foolish message to the world. In the Corinthian church at that time, there was a group of people, okay? And they wanted to believe that the gospel was actually a creation of human wisdom. Right? Sounds kind of dangerous, huh? That something created by someone other than God. That's what they were calling it. Amen? Someone or something other than the true God offering salvation, or a secret truth, they used to call it. A secret truth that would be revealed, guess what? In exchange for what? For works and sacrifice a lot of times. Amen? Totally goes against God's word, right? I don't like dropping names all the time, but I'm going to drop a few names here. These are some examples of that, what goes on today in churches, amen, and in false religions, okay? In the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that you can earn everlasting life on earth by going door-to-door, okay, or doing door, they call it door-to-door work, or standing on a corner with a table and a sign, right? Now, praise God, they're being a witness, right? But they're not out there for their good looks, amen? They're out there to earn their way to heaven. That goes completely against God's word, amen? It is not of works, so that none may boast. Second, the Mormons, they believe that you can earn eternal life by being faithful to their church leaders, right? By being faithful to their church leaders and engaging in their secret rituals. Right? If you don't know about that, that's because you never got deep enough into the Mormon church to learn about the secret rituals. Amen? And of course, Mormon membership. If you're not a membership of the Mormon church, you're not going to see heaven. You won't see it. That's what they say. Thanks, Don. And then lastly, Islam. Islam believes that humans are basically good people. Amen? Basically good, we just need a little guidance. Okay? The balance between the Muslims, the Islam's good and bad deeds determines their destiny in paradise or in hell. So what's that? That's a works gospel, right? Depends on if you do good or bad. Amen? But that Allah can always tip the balance. That's what they think. Amen? So they live in fear of their God, and they live in fear of Judgment Day. And they're constantly trying to earn their way to heaven. Those are examples for today, okay? But in Paul's day, they had some pretty extreme examples too, okay? And they would approach the gospel as if it was a secret truth, right? Maybe you could buy it, I don't know, right? Secret truth that they could acquire by something they did or that they could earn their salvation. And Paul would say to them, how foolish can you get? How foolish can you get? What would be wise about a crucified Messiah, they tell him, right? That's not to say that Paul thought that the message of the gospel was foolishness to a believer, but that God had intended it to be foolishness. Amen? That was part of God's plan, to be foolishness to those who were already perishing. Amen? But the main point Paul was trying to show them and us is that God's wisdom then and forever is not man's wisdom. Amen? His ways are not our ways. In fact, it's not even worth comparing. Okay? God's ways and his wisdom are not anything like ours. In fact, they're on a whole nother level. Right? It's a whole nother level. Thanks be to God for that. I thank God for that every day. Amen? Once again, I will say that even the wisest of humans, okay? Even the wisest man on earth is playing checkers while God is playing chess. Right? In fact, he's playing professional tournament chess to the 10th power. We can't even comprehend it. Amen? Amen? We could never compare our thoughts or our wisdom to God's. And if somebody's thinking they can, they're in trouble. Amen? Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. That says it all right there. Amen? That's not to say that Paul was condemning education, okay? Of course they want us to have an education, right? But he's merely saying that our wisdom is useless for obtaining spiritual wisdom. Amen? That can only be found through prayer and God's word. Amen. Okay? Amen? But the best part of verse 21 is that he says, he says that it pleased God to do it. Amen? It pleased God to do it that way. God would take pleasure in accomplishing our salvation in a way that we could never think of. Right? In fact, he does a lot of things in the ways we could never think of. Right? We praise him for that. Amen? God was happy also to save us in a way that was offensive to our human wisdom. Amen? He did that on purpose. That's part of his plan, okay? All this so that no one would ever think that their salvation was attained by anything other than God's grace and God's mercy, right? You can't earn it. Verse 22, he goes on, he says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The Jews were looking for a sign. Amen? And the sign that they were looking for looked a lot different than the one they got. Amen? A lot different than the one they got. And, you know, little did they know, right? Little did they know. They wanted a Messiah that was on the horseback, right? With the sword coming down in fire, right? But what did they get? They got a Messiah riding into town on a donkey. Amen? Little did they know. Little did they know. They were not looking for the message of the cross, okay? Their Messiah had come, and they didn't even recognize him as he hung on the cross. They didn't recognize him or his purpose. Their Messiah was supposed to be like this, right? A warrior king that was going to come and wipe out all the evil and all the Romans. But to hang on a cross like Jesus did and die like a common thief, to die like a man, they couldn't comprehend it. Amen? Their idea, you see, to wipe out evil in the world That wasn't a bad idea, right? But their rejection of God's plan, that was a real bad idea, right? That was a real bad idea. And in verse 22, he would talk about the demands, okay, of the Jews and the Greeks, right? That the Greeks, all they looked for was wisdom, right? That's what they valued, okay? They thought they were above everybody else, above the common people, and above labor. They would have slaves do all their labor, and they just sit around talking about philosophy and wisdom with each other. Amen? They were constantly learning, okay, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. How sad is that, right? Smartest people in town, constantly learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. All that philosophy, all that wisdom, yet they would miss the value of the message of the cross. It wasn't wrong for them to seek wisdom, but to reject God's wisdom, that wasn't wise at all. In fact, Paul would go on to say in response that despite what they demanded and despite what they looked for, he and his brothers, what were they going to do? They were going to preach Christ crucified. Amen. Right? I hope most preachers have that same attitude today. Amen? Just like the good preachers of today, Paul knew what they wanted to hear. Right? Most of us know what people want to hear, yet Paul would give them the truth. Not everybody wants to hear the truth. Amen? Not everybody wants to hear the truth. Paul would preach Christ crucified. And that's what I'm called to do as well. Instead of signs and wisdom of God through God, instead of signs and wisdom, God through Paul, amen, he would give them a message about a crucified Messiah. That's the message they were going to get. A foolish message, remember, to those who are perishing. Right? Foolish to them. The Messiah was supposed to conquer, not die. Right? They expected him to come and conquer. And they would scoff at Paul because wisdom was the only thing that impressed them. Wisdom was the only thing that they were impressed by. So what do we consider wisdom today? Right? What do we consider strength today in the world? I believe today's society is really impressed with education. Right? Today's society is impressed with education. They usually start to take notice when you have a degree, right, or an education. People want to hear what you got to say, right? People in the world, they start to take notice. This is Dr. So-and-so, right? Let's listen to what he's got to say. This is the executive pastor of the high church, amen? Let's hear what he's got to say, right? People are impressed by these titles, amen? For the most part. The wisdom of the world, for the most part, thinks that faith and the message of the cross are foolishness, okay? In fact, most of the Ivy League schools today that were founded to promote virtue and godliness, they have totally forgotten about God and their roots, amen? Totally forgot. They think the cross is foolishness, and they try their best to indoctrinate those who come in with faith, right? And we can see that on the news, too. Because the world, guess what? The world is still impressed with wisdom, right? Worldly wisdom. And what about strength, right? If you have money and you got power in the world, you got strength, right? Money and power bring strength. And people will watch you and they'll look up to you. Even if you have the worst character and the worst beliefs, if you have wealth, people will follow you around and they'll listen to you to get what they can get, right? The point is that the message of the cross was intended to be foolishness to the world, right? That was God's design. That was God's goal. In verse 21, it pleased God that the very thing the world thought was dumb and weak was going to save those who believe. That pleased God. And that, my friends, because that's God's wisdom, okay? All part of his master plan. And make no mistake, okay? God makes no mistakes, right? God makes no mistakes. Goes on in verse 26, he says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
Amen.
So that none may boast. So that none may boast before Him. Paul is saying to all of us, okay, consider who you are. Right? Consider who you are. I mean, how many of us have a college degree, right? You can raise your hand if you want to, but how many of you, know, not that that really means anything, okay? Not that that really means anything, but, you know, or everything, I should say. Some people have great careers and great lives without a degree, okay? They really do, and or without ever even going to college. But in the world, to have a degree is a big deal, right? It is in the world, okay? Education is a big deal. But isn't it great that despite what the world thinks or the world believes, God chose the weak and the foolish to bring the gospel message to the world? All right? And I'm going to tell you why He did that, okay? When we share the gospel from a simple and even broken life, it makes the work of the cross that much more powerful. Doesn't it? Amen? When we tell the testimony of what we've been delivered from, right? What do we say? If God could save a wretch like me, right? Amen? He could save any of us. That's God's purpose. Amen? It is a foolishness. It's foolishness to the world and all of its standards of greatness and things that are acceptable, things that are cool. But that was God's design. That was His plan all along, to make both the message of the Christ and the messengers, the message of the cross and the messengers of the cross to undermine what the world thinks is important.
Amen.
Right? Because that's what God does. Amen?
Yeah.
And in doing so, God would take every excuse. This is another amazing part of it, okay? God would take every excuse from mankind about why we can't take part in the Great Commission. You can't say, well, I don't have enough education. Or I don't have enough money. No. God says, come as you are.
Amen.
Right? You give a witness of what God has done in your life. It doesn't matter what you have or what you know. It's about what God has done.
Amen.
Right? It's about the cross of Christ. It's about His message.
Hallelujah.
Amen? So be a living testimony. Okay? Be a living testimony. When you testify to how God delivered you and how God changed your life, that is more powerful than any eloquent word that any scholar in America could give or in the world. Amen? Isn't God great? Right? Isn't He great? Right? That's His plan. Amen? His ways are not our ways. Thanks be to God for that. And remember to thank God every day for that. Thank Him for His ways. Amen? Thank Him for what He's done and the message that He's given us. And remember, no matter what we've achieved in this life, it's because of God and His love for us that we are saved in Christ Jesus. Okay? It's because of Him. That's the message that we're called to give. Okay? And here it is right here in the last two verses. Verse 30, it says, it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Amen.
Right? If you're going to boast about anything in this world, boast about the fact that God opened your heart to receive Him and to see Him and to know Him.
Amen.
Right? That's what we need to boast about. There should be nothing else in this world that you need to boast about, because peace and salvation are yours. And it's a gift of God. I'm going to leave you with Jeremiah 9:24, okay? It says, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. In fact, let's boast about it right now. Let's give them all the praise. Amen? All right? Yeah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Amazing Grace. Amen. Thank you for being a family of God here. Thank you for giving your lives to the Lord. And thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your ways, that they're not our ways, Lord. And that they are amazing ways. We thank you for every gift, for every answer to prayer, so many miraculous answers to prayer in this church and in the world. We thank you, Lord, that as the world gets darker, the light gets lighter, and the cross grows stronger, and the message grows stronger. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you give us to represent you in everything we do and everything we say. Lord, may you go before us, protect us, watch over us, and deliver us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.